Welcome to the Wellness Renaissance Podcast, exploring topics to help you find the pieces that fit into your health puzzle.
I got into this field because it worked really well for me. I had an experience with a shiatsu practitioner that I was seeing her about once a month. And all I knew is that what she was doing was working. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of in a very stuck place in my life. I feel like through seeing that shiatsu practitioner, I gradually started to make different choices. I started to become more open to new experiences and started to get out of my stuck mindset at the time. But when I felt better in my body, I felt better in my mind. And I'm like, I thought these were separate. What is this about? If you simply don't want to disrobe for a massage, I can offer you an alternative because I'm totally comfortable working through clothes. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't want people to get, you know, a Swedish massage. It's that I feel like I can be more effective sometimes in the sensitive areas if somebody stays fully clothed. If you've had injuries that other massage therapists haven't been able to address, I would really like to see you. I'm not saying that I can fix it, but I would love to try. Mm-hmm. I really love that challenge of injury work, so.
Well, hello and happy fall. As I record this, we are trying to not get blown away here at the Fancy Pants Wellness Renaissance Studios where I can hear the building creak. We're having like 65 mile an hour wind gusts. So if you hear a little creaking in the background, that's what that's all about. Anyway, welcome and thank you for spending your time with us today. In the beginning, you heard Bethany Kiddock of On Point Shiatsu Massage. And this was a great opportunity for me, not only to sit down and get to know Bethany better, but shiatsu is something I have actually never had a chance to experience of all the stuff that I've done. So Bethany had come highly recommended by a few people. So it was a great opportunity to learn from my physical self and experience shiatsu massage, but have her, of course, share what it is, what makes it different than regular massage, and share with us some details about Chinese medicine and kind of the skill set she brings, which is the Eastern Western kind of thing that she can both pull from separately and mesh together. And a theme that came up multiple times in our recording and in our conversations is it is about finding what works, what is actually going to do the job to help the person. So, yay! And spoiler alert, she is running a special this fall. So if you are a new client of hers, if you haven't seen her before, she's giving people 20% off through the end of November. And if you are somebody who's already working with her, referring a client will get you 20% off. So just saying, check her out. Ta-da. I'm just having this realization that I'm kind of turning into Jonathan Van Ness from Queer Eye, and I don't know where that's coming from. Anyway, I love Jonathan Van Ness. So rock on. Nonetheless, sometimes we need a little incentive to push us over the edge to take care of ourselves. So if that 20% does it for you, just telling you, that's the reward you get for listening to the whole thing. Ta-da! Again. Apparently, the morning coffee is just kicking in. Before we head into our interview with Bethany, I just want to, of course, say thank you to those of you listening today. Please, if this podcast episode or the podcast in general can benefit anybody, please do consider sharing it through Facebook, pass on the emails, tell your friends, tell your neighbors' friends. In all truth and reality, you guys, you're sharing the podcast with people who can benefit. Really, not only does it mean a lot to me, but really it is the vehicle that helps me grow, helps the podcast grow, gets the information out there. And all of those things work synergistically together so that this thing that I'm doing, this work that I'm doing can continue. And that is the goal. So it is so much fun to share people and information with you guys. And I know that from the comments that I get that so many people appreciate it and say they benefit from it. And I value that feedback so much. That is what I need to keep going. If you're not on the email list, I highly suggest it. Go to wellnessrenpodcast.com where you can not only find all of the podcasts, you can sign up for the email list. And if you happen to miss the big shindig, the podcast party that we had earlier this year, if you look on the bottom left corner, if you're on your desktop, you can click on the program and look at the PDF color version up until episode 86 that gives shortened synopses of the episodes and contact information. And people say it makes a great little directory, which I agree. I think it does. And if you are one of those people that we hold very, very precious in our hearts that would like to support the podcast monetarily, wellnessrenpodcast.com is also the place to do that. You'll see a big red button that says become a patron. You can think about it like supporting public radio. As little as a buck a month supports the work that we're doing, and you get some extras, and there's some other great levels that you can check out too. So thank you, thank you, thank you for considering doing that. And for all of you who already are on board, I frequently send big, shiny, happy gratitude bubbles your way. All right, let's dive in.
My name is Bethany Kiddock of On Point Shiatsu Massage. I've been a massage therapist for almost 5 years now. And I primarily do shiatsu, but I throw some other modalities in there as well.
And I'm just going to say that it's been really cool because I've known you for a while, but I finally worked with you yesterday, which was very awesome because shiatsu is something that I've always seen. You know, I see it come up, you see it on TV, or you see it referred to, but I never actually had it. And I've done a lot of different body work. And so it was a great experience to get to experience what is different about it. We've got massage, and then we've got different types of massage, and then we've got all these other things.
And it can get very confusing.
It can get very confusing. And that's part of my reason on the podcast for talking to people and having them explain what is your modality? What does shiatsu massage mean so that people understand what they're getting into and why is this different, you know? Mm-hmm. 'Cause it is different.
Yes.
In my experience. My 2-hour experience.
Yeah. Yeah, you dove right in.
I did. It was great. It's, hey, you know, if you're going to do it, go all in if you can. Give me a little bit of maybe the elevator speech of shiatsu. And what does that mean? And then let's back out and talk a little bit about your training. Because you said you put some other stuff in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And let's talk about what that's about too. But let's start with shiatsu.
Okay. Well, shiatsu is a Japanese style of massage. Shiatsu literally means finger pressure.
Okay.
But it is more than just finger pressure. And it is based on the meridians of the body, using the same principles that Chinese medicine uses. If you're not familiar with Chinese medicine, the same system that an acupuncturist would use.
So you said you sprinkle some other stuff in. What does that look like for you? And what does the training for all of this look like a little bit?
Well, the school I went to is Center Point Shiatsu and Massage School out of Minneapolis. And they have a 1,300-hour east-west program. And so that's where I had the bulk of my training. And so in addition to learning shiatsu techniques, the basics of Chinese medicine, which would be the east component, you also get, you know, your anatomy and physiology and your trigger points, cross-fiber frictioning, and Swedish massage. You know, all the things that you typically find in your average massage program. And then in the end, you blend them both together. And having the background in both of those is a really powerful combination, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
When East meets West, that's my happy place.
So. Right, okay.
Because you're drawing from more a scientific perspective as well as the more, I hesitate to say intuitive approach of Chinese medicine because it is based on thousands of years of observations of relationships in the body that don't necessarily show up in Western medicine.
Okay, interesting. Well, and I just personally think, and having talked to a lot of body workers, and even talking to my osteopath, of what we're still learning about the anatomy. I mean, this
Absolutely,
isn't a done
yep.
deal. We don't have this all figured out.
Right.
You know?
Fascia is really hot right now, that we're learning so much about fascia. And before it was sort of a... When people did dissections, it was sort of like a throwaway component. Like, okay, we need to scrape this white stuff away and we're going to throw it in the trash because we don't think it serves any purpose. We want to look at the muscles. That's the cool stuff.
Right.
But what we're learning now is that fascia is possibly, I mean, we haven't proven it yet, but it's probably part of the communication system in the body that allows our muscles to work in concert with one another. Like, you don't think about...
Right.
I'm going to lift my hand and my elbow and wave at somebody. You just do it.
Right.
And so, like I said, you know, we haven't definitively proved it, but that's one area that's really growing right now. So.
Wow. Well, it's interesting. And it makes sense. I mean, stuff is probably there for a reason.
Right.
And we don't necessarily understand all of the reasons. I mean, it's amazing that our bodies work. And when we think of the speed, like you say, you raise your hand to do something, it is just the automatic systems that go on in making that happen. And then, you know, we think of everything else. Where there's a lot of things going on, there's a lot of things that can go askew.
Right.
Right? So, and we use our bodies in such intensive ways. Whether we're super active or whether we're not active, there's still a lot of space there for things to get kind of
right
gummed up. So.
And so I suspect, although, you know, it's not been proven, but I think Chinese medicine or shiatsu might be working with some of the aspects of fascia that we have not yet discovered.
Okay.
That's just my own personal theory. I have no idea if it's going to be correct or not.
Right, right. But kind of your experience or what you could see might be going on there.
Right, yeah.
Yeah,
and to jump into a whole nother topic, the meridian system roughly matches up with, there's a guy named Thomas Myers that has done something called anatomy trains that sort of see different lines in the body similar to those found in acupuncture. They don't follow them exactly. It kind of feels like people hit on the same thing, only studying it in different ways.
Right.
Chinese medicine was developed in a time where I believe dissections were not allowed, and so they had to make all of their observations externally, and that's part of how it got invented.
Okay.
Whereas Thomas Myers, more modern day, did his work with dissections, by taking out one muscle and then finding where it connects to the next. And through the connections through the muscles and the fascial system, developed this theory of anatomy trains.
So. Okay, wow. Well, and it's interesting when you think about that. Exactly, though, like you say, they're doing observations from outside the body and then kind of confirm them when we can get in there.
Right.
And it's interesting how much can be learned, you know, by these observations that is worthy of taking note.
So. I'm just an all-around nerd. I like to study everything.
So. Well, hey, that's great. That probably speaks to how what you bring to the table, literally, to your table.
Yes.
And you're working on somebody and what you can pull from. I know you had mentioned that you also do a little bit of Thai.
Yeah, I took that as an elective.
Okay.
So I haven't had extensive training, but there's a lot of overlap between shiatsu techniques and Thai massage techniques. And so they really pair well together.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk about, like, shiatsu. What makes it different? What makes working either with you or with somebody doing shiatsu, what is going to be different about that than a regular massage?
Shiatsu in its classical form is done on a mat on the floor, fully clothed. I prefer to do most of my work on the table just because it's easier both for the client and the practitioner sometimes. It can easily be adapted to the table. So the first major difference is you're fully clothed. You don't have to do it that way. You can incorporate some shiatsu techniques and some Swedish massage techniques and do it like you would, what we're used to here, you know. I don't do a full Chinese medicine assessment, but traditionally it is done with an assessment similar to what an acupuncturist would use, where they ask you about your eating habits, your sleeping habits, and how's your digestion, you know, in addition to what muscles are sore in your body and what's bothering you today. Also including things like your emotional state, even the weather. What does the current weather pattern look like? Because, like it or not, that affects people's health as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Chinese medicine takes all of that into account. You know, it doesn't separate between you and the air and the walls as much as what we've been taught to believe.
Okay, right, that we are.
Everything is made up of qi.
Right, and we're in our environment, and our environment, in a sense, is in and affecting us.
Right.
So how all of those things fit together, that's cool. I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me.
I kind of try to avoid getting too woo-woo, if you will. science was my first love, but I found that Chinese medicine fills in some of the blanks for me. So
okay.
I really enjoy, you know, kind of batting it back and forth between Western and Eastern ideas and kind of finding the happy medium there.
Oh, I love that you're open to that, right?
Yeah.
Because I think you can miss a lot if you just really only focus on, and people look at where your science comes from in different ways too, I think. But you can get too stuck in that and not be open to understanding the bigger picture. And we find out, how many things don't we find out later that there's basis in. I remember when I was in India, I was literally listening to reading something. It was talking about how there was this particular way of doing this combination of herbs and food. And everybody thought it was silly and stupid because there was no science behind it. And it's like, whatever, it was just done by these mystical people.
Right.
And then they were like, and now we understand why. Now we understand. And the fact that they knew to put these things together, and now we understand how helpful that is for our body. And it's like, okay, well, give them a little credit. They had something going on,
right?
You know,
right? Maybe they didn't get everything right, but they got that part right.
Right. Yeah. And so it's worthy of looking at. So to be open to that, I think again, it brings it into the well-roundedness that you bring and the openness that you bring to be able to pull from mm-hmm. all different directions, and comes down to what works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm totally into what works. You know, I don't like to. People to waste my time, and I don't like to waste other people's time. I like to choose the technique that will get the most results in the shortest amount of time. I got into this field because it worked really well for me. If you would have told me like 6 or 7 years ago that I would be a massage therapist today, I would have told you you're crazy.
Really? Yeah.
I don't like to be touched. I don't like to touch other people. But I had an experience with a shiatsu practitioner that I'd worked with her for maybe 6 months to a year. I don't remember exactly, but I was seeing her about once a month. And all I knew is that what she was doing was working. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of in a very stuck place in my life. Kind of like, oh, I just need to buckle down and work harder and I'll figure it out. And I feel like through seeing that shiatsu practitioner, I gradually started to make different choices. I started to become more open to new experiences and started to get out of my stuck mindset at the time.
Okay.
I got more and more curious about the mind-body connection because I realized, like, I didn't have anything serious physically going on other than, you know, I'd been working long hours on a concrete floor. But when I felt better in my body, I felt better in my mind. And I'm like, I thought these were separate. What is this about? And eventually I got more and more curious, and I checked out the school that I saw that she had. I looked on her website and saw what school she went to, and I went to go check it out, and I felt like that's where I was supposed to be. So,
wow.
Took me another 6 months to talk myself into it, but yeah.
Okay. I love that you come to this from a perspective of, I don't like to be touched. Because the reason I say that is because I have known a good share of people who, them hearing that from you would be a reason they would go to you. Like, I've had a couple friends who are now get massages, but you couldn't have told them years ago that they would ever get a massage on a regular basis. Because right. They were like, yeah, don't touch me. And if they were like, they heard you say that, they'd be like, okay, she might be safe. She might get me and my discomfort about this.
I mean, there is definitely something to be said for the quality of touch.
Yes.
Which is something that I try very hard to accomplish.
Right. Well, and that is an important piece of it. But I think sometimes just even understanding that in a visceral way of somebody right. not wanting to be touched or just having feelings about that, I think is
yeah.
it's a
well, and
thing.
The other great thing is if you do have... If you simply don't want to disrobe for a massage, I can offer you an alternative because I'm totally comfortable working through clothes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that I don't want people to get, you know, a Swedish massage. It's that I feel like I can be more effective sometimes in the sensitive areas if somebody stays fully clothed.
Okay.
And I can do more of the stretching and pressing that would be very difficult if I had to pay attention to draping.
Uh-huh. So let's take the draping piece and let's talk about back again if somebody is coming to see you. Because from the perspective of a person who up until yesterday had never had a shiatsu massage before, It was a very different experience for me. Like when I see my osteopath, I'm pretty much wearing my undergarments and she moves me all over the place. But I am so comfortable with her and it is about getting the job done that I don't care.
Right.
And it's, we've known each other for years. It's totally a trusting thing. But I can also understand that somebody could be there and be like, yeah, no, that's not cool, right? Then
right.
be uncomfortable with that. So I totally get what you're saying. It just, your mind is less on the making sure the person has their dignity intact
right.
and more about, we need to move your arm or leg this way and I don't have to worry about a breast coming out from under the draping
right.
or how your leg is positioned or whatever, and having that person on the table then be like, ooh, this feels weird, and I'm, oh my God, now I'm self-conscious of what she's seeing, oh my gosh, you know, and then
yeah.
your body tenses, right? So the way that you're doing it, and I, from a doing, when I have done massage, I totally, you know, the more access I have to the body, the better I work.
Oh.
But I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah.
So you're coming in, like you said, you're wearing clothing that you can move in
mm-hmm.
so that you can make those different adjustments and different pulls and things like that,
mm-hmm.
which I think expresses, again, the complexity or the variety of work that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So the one thing that I, you know, for me that was different, which was really interesting and cool, and I love this, was that it isn't, you come into your space, it's a massage table, but you start out laying on your side in between some various bolsters.
Yes.
And so I thought that was really interesting, that we started on our side.
And I don't start everybody that way.
Okay. So,
that was appropriate for you based
okay.
on our conversation.
Okay.
And you also booked a 2-hour massage. So that means we have time to do
Got
many
it.
More techniques.
Okay. Okay.
If it was a 1-hour massage, I may have just chosen to do only side position or
okay.
I may have chosen to not do it at all.
Okay.
But yeah, I think again, working fully clothed, switching from the side position to front to back or whatever is needed in that particular situation, staying fully clothed means that I have more time to work because
mm-hmm.
I'm not messing around with the draping and stuff. Yeah.
Right. Okay. And I thought it was really interesting, the side work, because it's a different access that
uh-huh.
you have and it's a different focus that you could have. Like when I flipped over, I could feel one side of my body was doing a lot of different things than the other side of my body that hadn't been worked on yet.
It's fun. It also is a very teaching moment for clients too, using the side position, because they do feel that contrast.
Right.
So
yeah, it's like one side of my body was like singing and working in this concert of movement, and the other side was like, ear, ear, ear.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny. Yeah, so people that have had a pregnancy massage or massage therapists that do pregnancy massage, they don't think side position is any big deal. And I don't either. I mean, I think it's great, but I find it baffling that more massage therapists don't gravitate towards it, because it just allows you a different angle to work
mm-hmm.
from.
Right.
And then the cushions that I use help with aligning your spine and stuff like that too. So
right, yeah, it was a very comfortable experience.
Yeah, you should feel sort of like you're curled up in bed, ready
mm-hmm.
to fall asleep.
I felt more comfortable there than I felt curled up in my own bed. So,
actually, one of my teachers said that one of his clients actually bought those cushions because he liked them so much.
Well, I don't know if you've seen this, but there is a pillow you can buy, and I'm very curious about this. But it is literally, it's similar to what you have. You have a space for your arm so you can lay on your side.
Uh-huh.
And your arm goes through it. And I am more of a side sleeper than I want to be. And my shoulder's always forward. And I look at that and think, I maybe need to invest in that. Because it allows you, it gives your arm a place to go.
Oh, yeah. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's like a hole that you stick
yeah.
in.
Yeah. It looks really weird. But I'm so curious about that. But it's about keeping our alignment. And we think about, we're sleeping how many hours a day? And if you're sleeping in a messed up alignment, you're
right.
torquing yourself out a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I'm really good at that. I sleep like a crazy person.
You know how to fix yourself or tell somebody else how to fix you, maybe.
Yeah, that's true. I do.
That's helpful.
Maybe that's why I became a massage therapist. I don't know. Should we talk more about Chinese medicine?
Yes, exactly.
I feel like that's a big hole for some people in their dinner. They're afraid to ask more questions because they just simply don't have the background.
Yes, let's
okay.
talk about Chinese medicine.
So the first thing you need to know about Chinese medicine, I like to tell people, is that you need to be aware that when you start to look into it, you're going to have more questions than answers.
Okay.
Don't go into it expecting it to be the classical scientific process that you might have grown up learning. where, you know, if X and Y, then Z, or this set of symptoms leads to this diagnosis. In Chinese medicine, there can be several people presenting with the same symptoms from a Western medicine perspective, and they'll have a different diagnosis in Chinese medicine because the root cause of their disease is different according to Chinese medicine.
Okay.
And when I say disease, I mean more of like a, you know, not like an advanced cancer. It's more of like general everyday stress kind of dis-ease.
Okay, right. The dis-ease as opposed to disease.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, Chinese medicine does a lot better at addressing conditions where you feel just a little bit off, like you're not sure what's wrong, whereas Western medicine tends to excel more in more acute conditions.
Okay.
Not that they can't be used in the opposite fashion, but that's been my experience anyway.
Western medicine is less great with subtleties.
That's a good distinction
and
right there.
And more, yes. Yeah, hardcore. Like,
anyway.
You clearly present with these symptoms.
Yes.
Okay.
So I kind of wandered off what I started out to say. But at its very basic, it's trying to balance the yin and the yang. And so everything is made up of qi. And then qi is made up of yin and yang energy. You can think of it as sort of like a positive and a negative. Or yin is anything that is more dark and cold and solid. Which sounds really negative. It's not intended to be negative. But, and then the yang energy is everything that is more hot and expansive and energetic. And the combination of the two is where you find balance.
Okay.
So the yang energy, the sun comes down from the sky and hits the earth, which is the yin energy. And then the earth can then grow. That's one analogy.
Okay.
I could give you.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to ask you for that. Exactly.
Okay.
like throw a couple of notes. Help us understand.
Yeah, I know. It's a really broad concept, and it takes a while to wrap your brain around. In fact, when I first started studying Chinese medicine, I got extremely frustrated. I was banging my head against the book, and I'm like, I see all of these little relationships. There's this box leads to this box. And then on the next page, there's this box that leads to this box. And I'm like, where is the larger flowchart? I don't get it. And I finally decided that half a glass of wine was the perfect amount to study Chinese medicine to get my left Western brain to calm down enough to study this stuff because I wanted to understand it.
Okay.
I still don't understand it, but that's fine.
Well, you understand it on a probably on a level that you can work within it because you get the flow.
Right.
But to try to put it in the boxes that we like to put things in, it's not so simple.
Correct. Yes. And this book was written by a German who's the preeminent, I can't think of his name right now, Machi Ocha. He's sort of like the Western expert on Chinese medicine.
So. Okay.
Where was I going with this? Oh, so at the very basic, it's the yin and the yang energy that you're trying to balance. And then from there, you get into five element theory, which maybe some pictures on your website would be helpful at this point. I don't know. I'll have to find some that are...
That would be great, actually.
Simplified. So in its very basic form, there's the yin and the yang energy. And after that, you get into the five element theory. And there's a yin and the yang in each one of the five elements.
Okay.
And so typically, you'll start at the water phase. And water goes into the wood phase. So water grows the wood. Wood burns to create fire. Fire, the ashes go back into the earth. And then from the earth element, you go into the metal element, and metal is mined from the earth.
Okay.
There isn't a really great analogy for metal to go into water, but then the cycle starts all over again, and that's the creation cycle. And then the next step in understanding this is the controlling cycle, which is instead of one going into the next, it's like you're skipping over one
okay.
and going across. And so if you think of water controls fire, water puts out the fire.
Oh, okay.
Fire refines metal, and metal chops wood, and wood kind of helps contain the earth and the roots and stuff, I mean, it's, that analogy isn't real great, but, and then the earth element holds water, if you think of like a lake.
Okay, sure.
And so in that way, Chinese medicine has a system of checks and balances. Because you don't want the creation cycle to just go and go and go
right.
out of control.
What I'm hearing and what is intriguing about all that you're saying
mm-hmm.
is, and this is where I think it's fascinating in kind of what I feel like is missing in the discussion of Western medicine and our daily life medicine. Like, we all hear the words, things are all connected in our
right.
world in the U.S. What I hear you saying, what I think is interesting about it, it's this acknowledgement in listening to you talk about the cycle that everything, it affects how it goes into this circle, right?
Yes.
It affects, but then it also acknowledges, by your saying it's jumping, it also acknowledges that all of these things still affect each other as well. And
right.
it seems like there's an elegance or an acknowledgement there that I feel like we don't fully have here in the Western so much. I think we're getting better at it, and I think there are people who have it. But I feel like in our daily discussions, or when I think of just medical stuff, unless they're almost integrative practitioners, I don't hear that acknowledged as much. So it's just this basic acknowledgement of how Chinese medicine is, and this is just my theory of what you're saying, is that there is just this true acknowledgement of how everything really does interact with each other in a real acknowledged way.
Yes. Yeah, once you start, you've got the five elements, and then once you start putting the arrows in, it does start to look like a web.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so in this way, you can get multiple different symptoms with the same diagnosis. So let's talk a little bit more about the five elements and how it relates to the body.
Okay.
So you're probably wondering why I'm not talking about any body parts at this point. And so each of the organs in your body is assigned one of these five elements. And so by looking at the different things that you might be struggling with in your life, whether that's physical or emotional or otherwise, I can then start to form a theory of how I might best work with your body to help you deal with whatever you have going on. And I should also say that the organs in your body are represented by the meridians. The meridians are lines on your body that correspond with your internal organs. And so there's also this aspect of bringing the inside and outside of your body into harmony.
Mm. That sounds so refreshing.
I mean, it's not a hard and fast science. It's really easy to get lost
mm-hmm.
in all the different theories of Chinese medicine. But sometimes when it is the right explanation, it feels so good. I've left a shiatsu session or a, you know, when it was done on me, I've left it feeling, I'll go into it feeling maybe emotionally distraught or just stressed out, you know, tight shoulders. And I'll come out of it feeling either that what I came into the session with is now a non-issue, or that I have the resources to deal with mm-hmm. whatever it is that's bothering me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, I think, is the magic of shiatsu. I hesitate to use the word magic.
Right. Well, it's
but it does kind of feel like magic sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Think of how many things that we do that can shift us, and then it shifts our perspective.
Exactly, which is exactly what happened to me. And I said, oh, what is this about?
And interesting that it was like more than an afternoon. It was a process for you that you kept grabbing onto.
Yes.
Actually looking and thinking about things differently.
Well, the other thing going on in my life at that time was that it's always been important to me to be happy at my work. But I didn't know what that was. I didn't know what my dream job looked like. And part of it is that I didn't feel fulfilled by the different jobs that I'd done. I didn't feel like my college education, I have a bachelor's of science that I don't use all the time. I've never gotten a job directly from that degree. So I was looking for something that satisfied both the left and right side of my brain.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I found shiatsu that I feel like, so the massage kind of helps with the creative side, and then the Chinese medicine and also the Western anatomy, you know, makes my left side of my brain happy, in that there is somewhat of a system mm-hmm. and that there is a puzzle to figure out. So
okay, right. So yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
you can work in the kind of hard science of what you do have the framework.
Correct.
But then the artistic piece of it comes out in putting all of those pieces together. And what does it mean for this human standing before me and what they're presenting and how they're feeling and what they need right now?
And I guess ultimately the driving factor was that she ought to improve my quality of life. And so I wanted to show other people how that was possible.
Right.
You know, without getting too much on my soapbox about drugs and stuff like that.
Well, it's so great when you can do that. I mean, to take in and go, okay, here, I've had this amazing experience. Let me give this to you.
Right. And also coming from a very sort of cynical background or skeptical. I feel like I was a born skeptic, and I enjoy proving that to other people that, you know, that recovery is possible, that you can let go of these old injuries. It's so funny how, this is totally an aside, but it's so funny in this line of work, I've noticed how many people define themselves by their injuries. Oh, I messed that shoulder up in college, and, you know, it's never going to get better, and, you know, and they actually use that as excuses sometimes, too. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. A lot of people also use it as a sense of pride, like, look at me, and this is what I've come through, and...
Right. Right, that badge of hard work,
yes.
or pain that they've had to work through,
yes.
or something, yeah.
And you can let that go,
mm-hmm.
if you want to. If you don't, that's fine too.
Right. But. Yeah, I think how many doctors and I'm sure from their experience, perhaps it's true. Like I don't think they're going out to try to hurt people, but.
Right.
You're not supposed to be able to recover from this, or all the science that I've read says you're never going to recover from this.
Right.
And then to have somebody completely blow it out of the water and figure it out, I think it's a different mindset of, you know, I think it's great not to give false hope and be real.
And I don't mean to discount, you know, anybody's injuries either, because there is definitely situations where there is permanent damage.
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell you that I've gotten really great results simply from paying attention and finding the appropriate trigger point or the appropriate, so trigger point from a Western perspective or the correct meridian or acupressure point to work on from a Chinese medicine perspective.
Right. To alleviate, even if it's just, it's not going to heal that injury 100%. But
right.
What else can you get out of it to...
You can relieve the compensation pattern.
Right, right.
So at least you feel better for a while.
Right. Yeah.
Improving people's quality of life.
And mindset. Like
yeah.
you said, I mean, that's just... The freedom that comes with your body working in a more fluid way and loosening up or just in a different way, it is a mind-freeing thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get exactly what you're saying, and I think it is interesting how... I think you get stuck in your body patterns, which probably because of the way we view how we can function in life, it locks up our mind patterns too.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we get past all that?
Yeah. One of the things I like to say about shiatsu, or really any high quality massage, but I feel like shiatsu does it with more ease or faster sometimes, is it reminds your body how it wants to be. Even if you don't know what that is,
mm-hmm.
it can remind... Such a, you mentioned when you saw Cookie and your shoulders were further back than they'd been in a long time. And you're like, oh, this is new.
Right. Yeah. I didn't know my body could do this anymore.
You're not permanently damaged. What a surprise.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, it reminds your body how it wants to be.
Right. Right. And what's still possible.
So yeah, I mean, if you're somebody who doesn't want to get into all of the Chinese medicine stuff and just let me do my thing, that's totally fine too.
Right. You don't. They don't have to know all of this stuff.
Yeah.
It's your job, kind of thing.
If you want to learn more about it, I'm more than happy to geek out about it. But
that's not a requirement.
And also, you know, trigger points and muscles and range of motion, I can geek out about that too if that's what you're into. Sometimes I kind of feel like I'm a translator of sorts. Like I kind of have put myself in between these two worlds, and I'm happy to talk to you from either perspective.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
That is great. We need those connections, I think.
Uh-huh.
I think it is nice when you're taking the worlds, and like you say, you're not keeping them divided. You're blending them. So
mm-hmm.
you can take the best of everything.
Right.
From the people that you've worked with or just experiences that you've had, obviously, in my mind, anybody can benefit from working with this type of massage. But have you seen anything particular that you're just like, oh my gosh, I consistently see this, or you know, these people tend to come to me and I have great experience with this, or
everybody's so individual. I feel like it's hard to. I know there was one lady I saw for chair massage. We were doing chair massage at an event, and I just had an instinct that she was talking about her shoulder and how it's, you know, permanently injured, and you know she has frozen shoulder, and so I just picked the most likely candidate for a trigger point, and I just went for it. And I said, "How high can you move your arm now?" And she's like, "Oh, I can lift it so much higher." And then she probably forgot about me. Because she never came to see me after that. I was just thinking about another aside. The funny thing about this line of work, like you can see it in your notes. You can see that somebody has progressed, or you can see, you remember things about their session that you hope that you fixed. And they'll come back the next time and literally have no memory of what you worked on. Because it's a non-issue now.
Right, exactly. Right. All of a sudden when something works, you forget that it didn't.
Right.
You know, when you feel better, you move into life and do life with that thing functionally.
Yeah.
Functionally working for you.
But I would say my most loyal customers are sort of middle-aged athletes, because maybe it's because they're more in tune with their body. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. I feel like I can cover, with the combination of shiatsu and Thai massage, I feel like I can cover more square footage or more. It sounds like a funny way to put it, but I mean, there was a time that I worked on Cookie. I hope I can use her name in the podcast. I don't think she'll care. But she texted me later, and I had been working on her shoulder. And she said, "I can put my bra on like a normal person." And to me, I was like, "Oh, that's nice." But to her, it was this huge deal, because she'd been suffering from this shoulder injury for such a long time, and the other people that she had been to see hadn't helped.
Right.
And so it was just a matter of me finding the right combination of techniques and points, and I was able to free that shoulder up for her.
And it brings me to an interesting thing that I think I've been lucky to work with body workers who are, they feel like they're invested in my care. And so those messages that you send them mean something to them. Like, and it also has them helping remember the things that worked. And it's so that next time they might be able to duplicate something if you move, if you backstep at all. Like, I love knowing that I can text my worker or whatever and just say, "Oh my gosh, this is how I'm feeling right now." Because it reminds me that I've changed, and it also lets you know you've done something right as a worker. But it also, and I don't know if you ever go back and put that in people's notes or not, right? But to be able to call back to that, I think is great. And so do you welcome that from your clients, or, you know, people that you work with, that if they let you know, "Oh my gosh, this is a shift for me," that those shifts, letting you know that is kind of a win for both of you? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. Because I'm always questioning, did I do the right thing? Could I have been more effective if I'd used this technique? And taken to the nth degree, it's not a good trait, but on a base level, it's, you know, what drives my curiosity to learn and find the best thing.
Right. As a, I don't even know what category to put this in, but I think of conversations that I have with more integrative doctors, even if they're doctors. There is that idea of, we all are doing the best we can with the information that we have.
Right.
With our patients and the people that we work with. And we learn from them to go forth and do our practice. And that's, again, I mean, me, from speaking from a perspective of somebody who appreciates the integrative, more holistic practitioner world, that's part of why I like that. Mm-hmm. It is the puzzle pieces that we're all trying to put together. Versus my, you know, again, no offense to Western medicine, but I'm sorry, this is my experience, is that nobody really cares how I felt the day after. Nobody really cares incredibly about the nuances of how something helped me or didn't help me, or that I didn't, you know, that my test results were negative or positive or whatever, you know, where I feel like that when you're working with more of the holistic side, whatever that modality is, there is this deep understanding of information coming in from their patients or from their clients is so valuable as well. Because yeah, it not only lets you know that you're doing the right thing, mm-hmm. but it helps you grow in that experience. And then if that doesn't work on somebody else, well, okay, why? Or okay, then, but they'll take out this tool then.
Yeah.
You know?
Seeing the client in the totality of their life instead of just a bundle of symptoms.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. How all that, again, just with the medicine you're saying, it's how all of that fits together, which creates a huge complex puzzle, like you say, and you have to love the puzzle.
Yeah.
To do the work that you're doing well.
One comment that I get fairly consistently to those that are new to shiatsu was that they leave feeling both relaxed and energized, which seems like a contradiction of terms, but you don't get that sort of, or you don't have to get that knocked out feeling that you might get from a deep tissue massage where you feel like you're totally worthless at the end of the day. I mean, and don't get me wrong, a great, you know, a good deep tissue massage is great if that's what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But shiatsu is a style of massage that I can tailor to you so that you don't feel knocked out and you can come on your lunch break and go back to work afterwards and maybe even do better at your job. I don't know. The other important thing I want to mention is that there's this misnomer that shiatsu has to be intense pressure.
Okay.
And just forget that. That's not true at all.
Okay.
It depends on the client. If they want that deep pressure, if they crave that deep pressure, the body mechanics of shiatsu are such that it can be really effective. Oftentimes I'm in a lunge position so that I can use my body weight in order to direct the pressure where it needs to go. But it can also be done extremely softly, like almost energetically.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't consider the latter my forte, but I can definitely, you know, go lighter or heavier as needed. What would you say from your experience yesterday? That the pressure was appropriate or?
Oh, I felt the pressure
too
was
light?
Appropriate. No, I didn't feel like it was too light at all. I don't know if I fell asleep yesterday or not.
You might have.
I think
for a minute.
I think I did. And it felt like you were mindful of what you were doing and where you were at.
I try to be.
So.
And I'd also like to dispel the myth that you have to feel pain in order to get results. That is the case sometimes, but I really wish that people would quit believing that you have to go through a lot of pain in order to get a good massage.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I can bring the pain if that's what you want.
But. Well, and like you say, there are times when it is sort of appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I had my leg seized up years ago. And I was working with a Rolfer, and it was miserable. But I walked out of her office and didn't need my crutches again. And
that's huge.
It was huge. She said, I've never had a child, but I've done this on other people, and they tell me that it's about as bad as childbirth. But again, on the other side, I walked out. I didn't need pain meds after that, and I didn't need my crutches. So, woohoo! But I knew I had to go through that. I was dealing with an injury, and I trusted her to do the work that she was doing. Yeah, there's that understanding your own body and understanding there's good pain and bad pain.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it takes people a while to get there. Like, I don't think a person just always understands that right away. And it's not something you can just explain to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Any thoughts that you have if somebody's either coming to work with you or that's helpful that they do before they come see you? Is there anything that they can do to sort of get their mind in a space that allows them to have the best experience possible?
I guess I'm not sure how to answer that. I just try to meet people where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
I've had people come in and start, you know, talking about their recent car accident and all the symptoms and the different frustrations they've had. And to be fair, when you have a whiplash injury, there's a lot of confusion surrounding that because, you know, your brain has sloshed around in your skull and you could be experiencing strange sensations and emotional issues or indecision or confusion. And I've also had people come into my office and start talking about they have a hole in their aura or something's wrong with their heart chakra, and I don't consider that my forte, but I can use my knowledge of Chinese medicine to try and address those problems.
Okay.
and just help them calm down and deal with whatever it is that they are experiencing in life. I don't know if I answered your question.
Well, I think not necessarily, but I think what you're bringing forward there is just being able to come to you and lay out what's going on.
I guess if there's one thing, it would be turn off your cell phone.
Ah, that's a good one.
I've had a client call her office in the middle of a massage, and I found that very offensive.
Oh, wow, that would be very difficult to work with.
Most people are very respectful, and that's good. And if you leave it on vibrate and you put it on my file cabinet, I have a metal file cabinet, and it just reverberates, and it's very... Just turn it off, okay?
Allow this time to be for yourself.
Yes.
And be fully a present or not present. I mean, yesterday I felt very present, but I also felt I could drift and just be and allow myself to go wherever, and you knew you were going to take care of me, and it was all good.
Okay.
So it's a nice place
good.
To be. So,
yeah.
Like I said, from what you were sort of just saying, I think what it comes down to is you kind of handle everything. Like, just come to you with how you're feeling, wherever you're at. You're really open to where people are and how they think about the world. Like you said, one person talks
right.
about their chakra, and they're able to, and you're able to work with that. And somebody else has a hard and fast, I had whiplash.
Yes.
Kind of stuff. So.
And I want to be clear that I'm not trying to, you know, replace any other practitioners as far as, you know, a psychologist or a physical therapist or a, you know, if I think it's warranted, I will definitely refer to somebody else.
But you're adding and but enhancing on, whatever they have
yeah,
going on.
On more of a base level, Chinese medicine is a good entry point with how to deal with life. At least it is for me. It has been for me.
Right. Sweet. Any other takeaways you want to give folks? Either in just kind of the self-care maybe that you've learned for yourself, if you have anything off the top of your head, because I realize I'm throwing this question at you.
I guess I just would say, and I know it's kind of overplayed, but you have to put yourself first. You have to schedule it in there. Don't wait until you're in pain. Schedule that, you know, monthly or every other month if that's all you can afford. Do what you can afford. Cut back on your restaurant and drinking budget and take care of yourself. Or, you know, if you've already cut that out, save your tip money or just make it a priority.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I myself see other massage therapists. I see a chiropractor and acupuncturist, and I get different benefits and positive results from combining all those together. And so if I can be a piece of your puzzle, I would like to be. If you've had injuries that other massage therapists haven't been able to address, I would really like to see you. I'm not saying that I can fix it, but I would love to try.
Mm-hmm.
I really love that challenge of injury work. So,
and again, if somebody is just, they've had massage, but they haven't tried something like this, it's a different experience.
Right. It deals with the nervous system first, whereas all massage deals with both the muscular and the nervous system. But with a large portion of my work concentrated along the spine, it affects the nervous system more strongly than your typical Swedish massage would. At least that's my perception of how it works. I don't know if you can find that in print anywhere, but...
How, if people are looking to connect with you, whether they just have more questions, I want to learn more about this, or they want to actually connect with you and maybe work with you, how do they reach you? And then do you have anything going on that you're either speaking at or an event you're going to be at?
Well, I have an office in downtown Duluth. It's located in the Sanctuary Healing Collective. We're a group of independent massage therapists that we share the same office space. I have online scheduling at onpoint.getartichoke.com, or you can give me a call, and I think Judy will have that
information. I'll put it all in the show notes too. Yep.
Right now I'm running 20% off for new clients through the end of November, or if existing clients refer somebody to me, I'll also give them 20% off. Also, I am going to be hosting at the BFF Business Women's Network November 19th, I believe it is, a Tuesday, and we will be at the loft up at the Bluestone Flats.
Oh, nice.
And that can be found on Facebook.
Okay.
Under BFF. I'm not sure if I got the name 100% right, but it's BFF Networking.
Okay. I'll find that and put it on the and put it on the link on the notes too.
I'm not sure they've started advertising yet. Might have to wait until after the October event.
And that's an event, obviously, it's a women's business networking thing. So that's something that, and by hosting, does that mean you're presenting as far as explaining who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'll be doing chair massage and just probably give a short 5-minute presentation.
Okay. Well, awesome. Thank you for sharing, because this is...
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
I love learning about, again, there's so many different types of things. And though I kind of know a little bit about this, it's fun to connect a lot more pieces.
I hope that I connected some pieces.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You reminded me of things that I've forgotten about Chinese medicine, which is great.
Okay, good.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
If you are in Duluth or traveling to Duluth, I want to give you her contact information one more time. It's onpoint.getartichoke.com. That's onpoint.getartichoke.com. And her phone number is 218-260-1040. And to speak from my own experience, I had a really good experience with her. Like she said, I was on the table for 2 hours. It was a really tough week for me, and I had multiple things done. But she really pulled out some techniques and did a lot of different stuff, which I really think got some things moving in my body, and I am now feeling much, much better. So I'd really like to go back and spend some time on her table when I'm not feeling so cruddy, and have it be more of a maintenance and moving forward session rather than just getting me back to functional and some sort of stasis. That being said, I am grateful she was available. So it was 2 hours very well spent. All right. Thank you so very much. Take good care, and may you continue to find the pieces that fit beautifully and with function into your health and wellness puzzle. See you next week.